First Friday we were here, we were talking about to bring in. What does that mean? And I gave you maybe two or three Bible verses talking about bringing in, but I summarized it by saying the first thing we got to do, first you got to bring yourself. There has never been a generation, there's never been a time, let me say it this way, in church history than like today, where today for countless people, church is optional. Church is optional. I don't know what it would take to prevent my dad from coming to church. He's from an era and a generation that on Sunday morning, you got up and you went to church. He's from a generation where even folks who don't even believe God go to church. It was woven into our culture. You follow what I'm saying? Culturally. I'm not even talking biblically or any other. Culturally, African Americans were accustomed and attuned to going to church. But we're now at a time in world history, church history, cultural history, where for us, church has become optional. And I don't know why it is, but the damaging effect of it is we don't grow stronger, we go weaker. Do you follow what I'm saying? When we're not connected. Jesus said, what? I am the true vine. Right? Any vine that stays connected to me, I'm going to do what? I'm going to purge it. So what? It can bring forth more fruit. When you disconnect or disassociate from the vine, you don't get spiritually stronger. You get spiritually weaker. You don't go forward with Christ. You end up what? Dropping back. Do you follow on that? And just something from being in the fellowship to being in the house of God, to being among the people of God, to be in a place where the word of God is being proclaimed. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so that's the first thing. For every believer, not just in this church, and I'm not talking about Taylor's Tabernacle. I'm talking about you can buy a tape or a DVD or a CD from any pastor's conference, and this is what the pastors are. This is what mega church pastors are saying. Folks don't go to church like they used to. And I don't mean 60 years ago. They're talking about 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They're just not coming. And as the generations go by, it becomes less and less. And that's why you got now, that's why you see now in churches now, there's all kinds of ways to connect to the worship service. Facebook online, streaming, and all that stuff is good. But the reality is, it's not the same. You need to show your God you care enough to say, no, I'm going to get up and come to your house. All week long, I've been needing you at my house. But this Sunday, this Wednesday night, this Friday night, I'm going to come to your house. If I don't do nothing, but just come and just say thank you. Thank you for blessing my house all week. My house didn't burn down. My kids are safe. I still got a job. Whatever, just go down the list and say, I'm just going to come to your house and thank you personally. I'm not going to stream into you. I'm not going to Facebook you. I'm going to cut. The Bible says you pay your tithes where his name is. You come to where his name abides. You bring it there. You follow what I'm saying? And you've got to understand, there's something to that. It's not merely to have churches full, but there's something to that. When we all come together and connect to the true vine. Then secondly, we talked about as we come consistently. I asked the question last Sunday while I was working on it. How many of us got family, friends, or coworkers who are unsaved? Every hand went up. I mean, all around us, we got harvest, got work to do. Unless you don't care about them getting saved. Maybe there's some folks in your family you want to go there. I don't know. But Jesus died for everybody. He shed his blood for everybody, not just for some, not just for certain. He died for everyone. Then he sent us to go to the folks who are in our circles and what? Tell them the love of Jesus. At some point, you got to come and go to church with me. To what? To experience what I experienced. You want to know how I'm making it? You want to know how I'm doing it? This is how I do it. Twice a week, I go and I get my tank filled up. Then I'm able to make it. Come back in. What? Get filled up again. One baptism. Many refillings. That's how I make it. That's how I'm able to sustain myself. It's not magic. Don't look at me and that. No. I'm just like you. The only difference I have, I got access to the power source. I go to God with it. I cast my cares on him. I let God worry about it. And then I take his glory and joy and I just dance. I dance while he's working on it. I dance it when he's finished. You follow? That's what it means. He says, cast your cares on me. Right? This is your Bible. I'm not making this stuff. Your Bible says, be anxious for what? Give it to him. God, you worry. Look, here's the thing. You got to understand about God. He's up all night anyway. Is this your Bible? Said he never what? Slumbers nor sleeps. God. Since you're going to be up tonight, all right, I'm going to let you worry about this thing going on in my house. I got to go to bed. I got to get some shellac and I got to get them going to work in the morning. So, Lord, I'm going to put this on your shoulders. They're bigger. They're broader. They're stronger. Your mind is more capable than mine. God, I'll let you worry about it. I'm going to go to sleep, and when I get up, I'll praise you. Right? If nothing else, just for carrying that for taking it off me for the night. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so you have that. So the first thing, we bring ourselves, then we bring others. And we talked about the 85 and 45. Just want to know, folks, that's what we have. We got 85 seats here. 85 available seats. And we have 45 upstairs on the third floor. Mm-hmm. I heard one pastor tell me, if you have a seat in your building, God has a soul for it. He wouldn't have let you have it. One thing your God is not is wasteful. He's not. Look at everything in creation. Everything he created had a what? Purpose. Immediate action. Went to work. You follow what I'm saying? Nothing wasteful. Nothing flat. And so if God allows us to get it, allows us to have, that means he's got a purpose for it. We've got a chance. We've got a soul to put there. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's just he needs us to do what? We just got to go and do the work. And he'll bring the harvest and the increase. So we talked about that. That was the first night we were together. We talked about bringing in the... Now, are the kids upstairs? Lord, no, I'm going to send Jerron up there in a minute. They keep fooling around. And so then we talked about build up. And that was on last Sunday. And if you didn't get the slide, you got to get the slide. Right. Oh, wait a minute. You got to get. I think I had some extras. Because y'all gave back some extras. Who didn't get a slide? And you didn't get it electronically? If you got it electronically, you're good. But if not, hand these out for me, Jerron. Put your hands up, Jerron, and get you some. But this is what we talked about on Sunday, right? Again, to build up. We bring in for the purpose of being built up. When we say this, built up, this is what we're talking about. Everybody with me on that? We're talking about going from an unbeliever to a new believer to a young Christian to mature, mobilized disciples on up to servant leadership. And that is a continual process in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what we're doing. And so the question I asked Sunday is, where are you? Where are you on this trail? We went through all of it. We got the scriptures, all of it. You can read. Where are you? You need to be somewhere on this chart, and you need to be progressing to the next level. Right? And the way that we as a church help facilitate that is through what we're doing right now. Friday night Bible study. Sunday worship. Those are the times we gather and we make the primary element the Word of God. That's how you built up spiritually. Right? What's the most important thing about fasting? What have I been telling you all week long? What's the most important thing about fasting? Is to increase your spiritual intake. All that other stuff you talked about is great. It'll never happen if you don't eat more. Oh, I want to have a concussion, it'll never happen. You dedicate yourself for a period of time to say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about getting closer to God. I'm going to do it. And as a reminder to myself, I'm not going to eat. Every time I get hunger, I'm going to use that as a trigger to say, instead of feeding my physical man, I'm going to use the time I would have for cooking, cleaning, preparing, and all that other stuff. I'm going to give that for spiritual food. More time in prayer. I was with the young adults. I said, one of the simple things you can do, whatever you do daily for Christ, double it. Your devotion is 15 minutes, give them 30. You read in one chapter a day, read two. During this dedicated period of time, take in more of Him. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is how you get yourself moving along this chart. Norm, go ahead and get these guys. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is what you need. Say, if I need to be built up, here it is. Boom, 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 boom. Always asking myself, where am I on this chart? And always understanding that He wants you at the far end. That's why He saved you. He never saved you to stay a child. He never saved you to be a young man. He always saved you because He wants you mature and mobile. God's got something for you to do. I just told you about the chairs. If everything He makes with a purpose. Everyone He saves for what? A purpose. God's got something for you to do. But you got to be ready to do it, though. Do you follow what I'm saying? You got to be ready to do it. So you've got that. You've got the handouts. We need to be growing. All right, and now we're here. So that's to bring in. Now we talked about build up. The next important thing is believers. And that when we say believers, we've got to understand, especially in today's society, in the church context, not everybody in church is saved. Right? Just by the sheer definition of what we talked about. If we're going to bring them in, we're not bringing them in saved. We're bringing them in because they're what? Unsaved. We want them to get saved. We want to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Right? And so there should always be a percentage of sinners in every man's, in everybody's church. If you're in a church and everybody's saved, your church is dying faster than any other church around. You need unbelievers in there. So that what? We can preach the gospel message to them, right? So you got to understand that the first thing is, so let me give you this word of God on it. You know it. It's a familiar story. Go to John 3, right? You guys there? I pick it up at the third verse. You guys know the story. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You guys with me on that? Nicodemus, man, I gotta get this new Bible. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Are you with me on this? Jesus talking to a religious man. Say, man, you got to be born again. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me be clear about this. The goal and object is not for them to join your church. They need church to help them find salvation. Then most importantly, they need church after they're saved, because now they got to connect to a local body. You guys with me on that? And so the first thing you got up here is the first thing, we've got to be sure of our own salvation. Are you saved? Have you been water baptized? You with me on that? And then the second thing you see I got up is there is you got to know how to lead someone to Christ. Right? Raise your hand if you know how to lead someone to Christ. Right? That's not nearly enough hands. Right? Because if you're being built up, if you're working your way through the process, you should know how to lead somebody to Christ. Everybody who gets saved does not happen on Sunday mornings between 11 and 1 at the altar. People getting saved all of 24/7, 365. All types of places. All God needs is an available witness who knows how to lead them through the Word of God to give their life to Christ. Now, if you've been here long enough, you know when we went through our evangelism class, this is the book we use, Sharing Christ as You Go. Raise your hand if you have a copy of this book. If you have a copy, this book you should keep in your Bible. Because you never know when you have the opportunity to what? Lead someone to Christ. Right? And again, I told you when I taught her when doubt, she said, I like this because this you can keep with you. If I get up here and teach you on how to lead you to Christ, one, I'm just going to say the same thing. But once it's over, it's over. And early on, when I started preaching, people were like, Pastor, well, how do I do that when you're not around? And that's when I began to realize, yo, people need something in their hand that they can go to. And like, now, this person is ready. Now I feel the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit prompting me to offer them salvation. Another thing I want you to realize about leading someone to Christ. No, the Bible says, Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. And listen to me clearly, the Holy Spirit must prompt you when the time is right. The time is not right when you're ready. The time is right is when the Holy Spirit has their heart broken enough to receive the Word of God. And that's when you've got to be right there ready with the Word of God. What you need is Jesus. How do I get them? Well, open your Bible. I'll show you. Take them down the Romans road. Take them through John. Take them through Galatians. This is how you do it. Takes an open commitment. You got to say it verbally. You got to open your mouth. Can't say it in your head. Can't imagine it. No, you got to make an open confession. Got to admit that you're a sinner. And you give it to them biblically, so the argument will never be with you. It's the Word of God. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Not offending me. You're saying, I don't want to do what the Word of God says. And that's fine. You follow what I'm saying? No, it's not. You know what I mean? But you got to know how to do this. Got to make sure you have this book. We're going to try to get some here for those that don't. But you need to know how to do this. And you see what the goal is. Every year, you ought to be attempting to lead someone to Christ. Some years you'll have greater success than others. Some years you won't. But you got to know how to do it. This is being ready for Christ. This is how you build up the kingdom of God. Another resource we have that you should have. This says here, now what? A guidebook for new Christians. What do you do after you give your life to Christ? Right? You got to be able to tell. Now what? I just gave my life to Christ. Now what? I'm still going home to a hellish situation, still in the same trouble I was in. That hasn't changed, but you got to be able to tell them now you have changed. And you got to be, how many of you have this? You have it, right? So look, if you want it, here it is. Raise your hand, Jeron, and give it to you. This is what you give people after. So you use this to lead them to Christ. Now they're saved. Put something in their hand. And for this generation, it can't always be a Bible. Hey, here's something. Start reading this. Start getting them a daily devotional. Slowly but surely, you start get them going in the process. Get them connected to a local church. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because what, we've got to be serious about building up the kingdom of God. This one, Keith. Give that's for all the young. Same thing, now what, but for kids, for younger people. Give that to all our young people. Make sure you got a copy of that. Because as young people, you ought to be leading people to Christ. The most effective persons at leading young people to Christ are other young people. You. You're here every Sunday. You're getting filled with the Word of God. You're getting encouraged. You're participating in the ministry. This is the one aspect you got to participate in. Well, you got to lead someone to Christ. You can do it. Paul told Timothy, don't let them make fun of your age. Timothy was a young pastor. So don't worry about that. You're ready. You sat up under me on these missionary journeys. You've heard what I teach. You're ready. Don't let them despise your age. Don't let them tell you you're too young. You don't know. You do know. Why? Because what? I've been bringing in. I've been faithful every Sunday. I'm getting the Word of God every Sunday. Friday night, I'm here. I'm getting the Word of God. I know what to do. I know what to say. I know what the Bible says. You got to what? You got to put it. You got to put it to use, right? So you got that. This is becoming a Christian. This is just a more condensed version of this. I like this one because it's got more Bible references for it. But this small one is good too. On becoming a Christian. This is the same thing, leading someone to Christ. Again, just a little handbook. Keep in your Bible. Keep in your devotion book, wherever it is, so you have it. You follow what I'm saying? Anybody want some of these? Anyone? John's coming. There's other things to have. Just some stuff that you can have that you can work with. This is Rick Warren's Bible study method. This is a book. So I've been talking to a lot of you, asking, how's your fasting doing? Focusing more on what are you doing spiritually? And everybody's doing a little bit of everything, right? If you're looking to find ways how to study your Bible, great resource. How to study your Bible. We had with the young adults. I got all types all over the place, which is normal. If you don't know, you're going to do what you know about. But just listen to this. There are proven methods for studying the Bible. Devotional method. Chapter summary method. Thematic method. Study the Bible thematically. If you've been here long enough, I've always told you, it's not called history. It's called His story. Not your government. It's God from beginning. We're just playing a part in this little skit right here. This little role for this little bit of time. And God, His story. To see God's story, you got to study the Bible. What are the themes? What is God doing in big swaths of time? There are themes. You got to pick up on that. There's a way to study the Bible. You study it, can study it biographically. No way you can read your Bible and not understand that it's about what? People. People and God. That's all it is. People and God interacting. All a part of history. Word study method. Background. Chapter. These are ways to study the Word of God. versus I'm just going to pick up my Bible and start reading. That is good, but you got to bring some wisdom to it. I need an approach, something that's going to work for me, available for whoever wants them. Right? You get that? Khalil raised his hand first, so he gets one, and then whoever gets the two. So you guys with me on that? All right, and so now we've brought in, now we've built up. Now we understand that it's all about believers. We're trying to build the church. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. And I told you tonight we went on that. The Bible said he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Soul winners are going to be rewarded when he comes again. You follow what I'm saying? So we have that. Now we bring up, we got believers, the body of Christ that's either locally, we're a local body of Christ, or universally the broader body of Christ, believers everywhere. The next important thing is to be sent, right? So we got believers, the next slide, to be sent. When we say this, bring in, build up, believe, Christ, to be sent, what are we saying? First thing you got to realize, well, let me give you the word of God. Let's work the word of God first. Go to Mark 6 and 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. You guys there? Gospel of Mark 6, chapter verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. You'll need a seminary degree for that. Christ is now, he's setting up the program for his church. He brings them in and they spend time, they just walk with him. They eat with him. Listen to him preach. Listen to him teach. Right? But at some point, he does what? I'm not making this in your, he called the 12 he handpicked. He said, boys, guess what? Today is time for you to what? You got to go. Sitting here up under me does not build my kingdom. I can't go everywhere and I can't be in every place, but you can. You two go there. You two go there. You two. And do what? Do exactly what you have heard from me. Don't deviate. Don't make up stuff. Don't add to it. Don't blend in with the... Say exactly what you have heard come out of my mouth. That's what he told them. Call the 12 himself. Send them out. Two by two. You follow what I'm saying? This is God's plan. I'm not making this stuff up. This is why you come in. This is why you got to get built up. This is why you have to know how to lead unbelievers to Christ. Because what? He's sending you out. The greater work is not in the house. The greater work is where? Outside the house. You guys with me on that? And so he talks about that. Now go to Luke 10. Luke the 10th chapter. Similar story, not the same story, but similar. You guys got that, Luke 10? After these things, the Lord appointed 70, what, others? Huh? He did what? What are y'all saying? Yeah, it's 70, but he sent them out two by two. Right. So the total is 70. This is what you hear in the Bible, the 70. You got the if you understand the ministry of Jesus, it's always the what? The first is the who? The what? The three. Peter, James, and John. After the three, it's the 12. Right? After the 12, it's the what? 70. After the 70, it's the what? It's the 500 up on the mount in 1 Corinthians 15. Right? And each one of them, he did what? He sent them out. Send them out. He sent them out. Right? After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And this is what Taylor Tabernacle's got to get. And then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Who are the laborers? The laborers are people, are believers who are mature enough for him to send out. That's who the laborers are. It's not everybody. But those who have gone through the process and have developed and have matured enough to the point where Christ can trust you. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's the laborers who are few. He said, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to what? Send laborers out into the harvest. He said, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. This statement means that they would face hostility and spiritual danger. Are you with me? This is why the people who get sent out must be mature, because what? Everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody's not just going to sign up for your program. Everybody's not going to just do what you want them to do. Land them up. They would face hostility. Does anyone know how many times the Apostle Paul almost died in his ministry life? You want a Bible study, just study that. Google it. Do whatever you want to do. Put it in your device. Find out how many times. And I don't mean they literally stoned him to death. Lystra, Derbe, and left the man on the hill to die. They they assumed he was dead. That's how bad they stoned him. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, how many guys would pull themselves out of that and clean themselves up and go back and say, I'm going to preach again? That's why I said in that last box where it's called servant leadership, you got to be called into that. Because the average guy is not getting up from that. This is what Paul says, I press towards the high calling. I need something that's pushing me that when I get stoned for preaching, I can get up and preach again. I can head to the next city and preach the gospel. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you're still to the point where what people can say and do can offend you for the gospel's sake, you're not ready yet. You follow what I'm saying? So you got that. So you see it. The 70, 12. The harvest is ripe. Christ is saying there's a whole world that needs my gospel. I just need some folks to go out there and share it. Be living examples. Be available when I prick someone's heart. And they're now ready to receive Christ. I just need someone there to show them. Right? Isn't that Philip's testimony? Right? With the eunuch? The guy said, I just need someone to show me. I got the word of God. I want to know it. I just don't understand it. Right? And if you read the story, the miracle of that whole story is, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit caught him up. You got to read that. A lot of people didn't know he did. The Holy Spirit literally and physically transported him at some exceptional rate so he would come up alongside the eunuch's chariot. What you reading, guy? I was in Jerusalem. They wouldn't let me into the tabernacle, the temple, to fellowship or worship because I'm a eunuch. I've been mutilated. They said, I'm disqualified. Watch this. But they took my money because I brought Isaiah. They took my gold. They just wouldn't let me worship their God. But what? God had what? God had an answer for it. He said, don't worry. I got a preacher. He's not a priest. He's not a Levite. He's not a part of the hierarchy of the temple. But I got a preacher. And the Holy Spirit moved him to where the eunuch was. And he shared them the gospel. The eunuch, after he shared the gospel, you know what the eunuch said? He said, there's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? Doesn't have to be Jordan. Doesn't have to be, look, you know what he was saying? Can I get saved today? That's why Christ, that's why the Spirit moved Philip. This guy's heart was ready. He came to the place that was logical. He came to the temple, but they wouldn't have it. But God said, no, I got someone who can lead you to salvation today because your heart's ready today. Are you with me on that? So on a practical standpoint, every Sunday after the benediction, I'm sending you out. We come in, we gather when the service is over. The benediction is to pronounce a blessing over you because you're going what? Out into the world. You heard what he said in Mark. I'm sending you out as what? Sheep among wolves. This is why within the order of service. That's why you stay for the benediction. Yeah, I got the word. Yeah, I've been prayed over. Yeah, I gave my number. But now I need the man or woman of God to pronounce a blessing over me and my house. Why? Because I'm getting ready to go out. They wouldn't leave the tabernacle feast. When the Jews came in for the annual feast, they wouldn't leave until that high priest pronounced a blessing. Because what? Now they had to journey all the way where? Back home. Every Sunday you're leaving out. After the benediction, sending you out. There's going to be spiritual opportunities for you as you go out. And then secondly, more corporately for the church, there's new territories, new ground for us as churches. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so this portion of the ministry vision. First Sunday, I'm going to work this out. But I've been trying to get you through here because like I said, what I want, when we say this, I don't want to just say it. What the homies used to say is, don't talk about it, be about it. You saying it, but you ain't doing nothing. We've got to go from a church from talking about it to now being about it. And that's why it was important for all of us to walk through this so that we can be on the same page. So that when you start saying this, when you start saying bring it in, you were all talking about the same thing. When we say be built up, we know what we're talking about, the same thing. To understand that he wants us to go out and find what? Unbelievers so that we can what? Lead them to become believers. To understand that God's purpose for every believer is to send you out. To send you out to build his kingdom. And this is how he has designed his church. This is how we have tried to design this ministry. So that you can be built up. To what? To fulfill his purpose. So you can go out. And if you read the stories, the 70, the 12, all of them, they all come back and are amazed by what God did through them when they went out. They did more for God being sent out than they ever did hanging around Jesus' feet. It wasn't until they went out that they learned the demons were subject to them. They never knew that. They knew that they were subject to Jesus. And so as long as Jesus was on the boat, it was all what? All good. But it took him sending them out to say, you can do this. That same anointing that is on my life is now on you. You can heal the sick. You can give sight to the blind. You can make all that what is in me is now in you. Why? Because you've been built up. You've been faithful. You've been here. You've heard it. You've seen it. You've experienced it yourself. Now go out and share it with someone else. Do you follow what I'm saying? Then just to close on that, the funny thing, they come back and they say, oh, there's demons and something and all that. And so they're all excited, right? Nothing like church folks when they get excited. As soon as they got excited, he pulled all the joy out. He said, well, don't even rejoice over that. He said, that stuff, he said, if you really want to shout, what did he tell them? Rejoice because your name is written on high. If you want to shout about anything, that's what you shout about. Not that the demons are subject. Not that you can heal. Not that you're doing any of it. It's the power of God working through you. But the thing you're going to want to rejoice about is that my name is there. Written in the book of life. That's what you want to rejoice about. That's what we as a church have to come to know and understand. Because that kind of rejoicing, that kind of motivation for rejoicing supersedes any problems, troubles, trials, all that stuff. All that's going to be a part of life. But are you mature enough to live above that? Have you grown in your faith enough to live above that? We all got problems. We can just come down here and have a pity party. All right, get your list out. Mine's long. Let me compare y'all. We all got lists. It's the same. It ain't nothing different. And this cannot be the reason we gave our lives to Christ. To be worse off. Paul said if we're worse off, he said then we of most men are most miserable. If we accepted Christ and it really ain't nothing to it, and now we take on all this stuff to live for him and it's not even real. Paul said, eat, drink, be merry, and die. If this ain't it, but we've got to have a hope. The old folks used to say, we got to have a hope beyond the grave. We got to have something bigger than this. Bigger than just life. Bills, problems, issues. We got to have a hope greater than that. Because if we don't, we'll never get above that. And you don't need Jesus to complain about your marriage, your job, or your income. You don't need Jesus for that. You can do that on your own. You don't have to get saved to complain about the people in your family. You don't have to. You follow what I'm saying? We get saved so what? So that we can go above that. To live above that, to live on a higher plane, to live in the spiritual realm where God lives. Do you follow what I'm saying? You got that? Good. So here it is. We started with the ministry vision. Bring in, build up believers to be sent out in the world. And so now on this last slide here, the ministry vision, so now you see it, this is where we're going. We talked about the bringing in. We've got to pack this place out. If nothing else, for no other reason than what I said, I don't believe Christ gives us these chairs for intentionally to have no one sit there. They're there. They're for a purpose. It's our job to go out and fill them. Do you follow what I'm saying? The second thing is we've got to be built up. We need more mature leaders. Because why? He's sending us out. Like I said, every Sunday we go out from the benediction. Right? In this coming decade, the Lord be with us, we want to be able to plant two new churches. There it is. One in Jersey and one back in Mount Airy. Are you with me on that? And so here's the question. Who's going to do that? I'll tell you one person who's not going to do it. Anyone got a guess? It's not me. You. Right. It won't be me. Right? In bodily form, it wasn't Jesus. He said, I can't get all those cities. You go. You go. Take somebody with you. Plant and start preaching the gospel. He said, my anointing will be with you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So all of this, you guys been with me for 10 years. For 10 years, all we did was built up. Now we've got to do something with all of that. We can't go another 10 years and still be sitting here like this. Now it's time. Now we've got to go out. Now we've got to fill this place so that as we send others out, the ministry doesn't dissipate here. But it keeps going, keeps building. Why? Keeps producing what? More people who we can what? Send out. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so this becomes our attempt at fulfilling the Great Commission. To go and make disciples. Told you, like the homie said, you can't talk about it. You got to be about it. you want my attention in these next 10 years, talk to me about this. Anything else, I done listened to you for 10 years, and ain't none of y'all saying nothing. I'm just being real. Now we're going to start talking about his stuff, what God wants to do. Lord, how can I be a part of your plan? What can I do? Lord, the prophet says, Lord, here am I, Lord. What? Send me. Make myself available. Instead of coming in every Sunday to feed, I'm going to start coming in to be the one feeding. Lord, I'm not there yet. Build me up. Build me up. Show me first how to live a life that would attract someone to Christ. So that when I ask them to come to church, they're willing to come. Not so much because my asking is unique, but because my life is different. Yeah, I'm going to come. I'm going to come check out what she got. Yeah, come on. Come see a man. Isn't that what she said? Come. I don't care what you think about me. Come see a man. After that, you make up your own mind. Do what you want to do after that. But I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling you, you need to come check this Jesus out. I can only tell you what he did for me. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so there we have it. So again, I just want us all to be on the same page now to bring in, to build up believers in the body of Christ, to be sent forth in the world. We're all on the same page. You want the slides? You can get them. This is what I'm talking about. And this is what we've got to be about. 10 years will go by quickly. And if we're not purposeful, if we're not intentional, that's just what it'll be. 10 years will go by and be like, wow. Right? Any questions? Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody in good shape? Take time to digest it. I'm going to be hammering on it all year long. So you don't get it tonight. You'll get it tomorrow night.